Hi, hello, welcome back. I'm actually really proud of myself because today I planned. I planned this episode, which is, I won't say a rarity. Well, it's a rarity. I've planned a few of these in terms of fully fleshing them out, writing them down, instead of just having an idea. But this idea came to me days ago while I was writing in my planner and decorating it. And trying to figure out what I was going through. I was processing my emotions and my anxieties and just really trying to get out of my head. So I didn't know where this was going initially, and I'm going to get to it, I promise. But I was doing some self-care this morning, and the Lord put it on my heart to fully flesh out this idea. So today we are going to talk about failure and hearing no's. I don't like to be vulnerable if I can help it. I'm just not comfortable with it. But in the times that I need to, I just say to heck with it and I go for it. So here we go. What is failure? What constitutes a failure? A definition that I found about failure is that it is simply a lack of success. I felt like a failure a lot, actually, because I failed to acquire the end result for something that I have worked so hard to try to achieve. I've had a lot of successes, but I've also had a lot of incompletes, would-have-beens, and fall-throughs. And these probably take on the failure profile, if you will, because you didn't get the thing that you really set out to. I felt like this a lot in my grad school track, as well as even my business. And I'll give you a few examples. One very, very recently, I am a member of this entrepreneurial group. And we met online. This is my first meeting that I attended. And we met online, I think it was last week. And people were invited to talk about their business. And because I like to hold the wall up, I'm a bit of a wallflower, I didn't. I was just listening. We also didn't have a lot of time, to be honest. But I was listening to these wonderful, absolutely beautiful business ideas and some of them were in the ideating stage. So we were asked to talk about what phase of business we were in. Some people were full throttle. They were in the growth phase. Some of them were planning. But I'm listening to these beautiful and elaborate businesses. I'm talking about these people had it going on. And I'm sitting back. I'm sitting back evaluating me and I'm just like, oh, I'm nowhere near this. Yikes. And I felt like in a moment that I was a bit of a failure, but I had to call myself back and just say, you're in the growth phase and you've been doing this business for years now. So let's not do that just because the ideas seems so broad and like they help people in other ways and you help people. That does not mean that you don't do any less than they do. And I was just like, yeesh, you know, I had to take that one on the chin. But other things that I've failed in, I suppose, I'm not going to call it a failure for the sake of, you know, this episode. But there were some fall throughs. There were things that I had gotten a yes on. And in the end, it was nothing that I could do that would make it any more a yes. There were just occurrences that happened on the other end, on the organizer's end, that did not make things happen. But that still feels like something that I did. So one of those things was, in grad school, I had submitted a publication to some editors at another university. And little did I realize that this was actually not just another journal article. It was a book chapter. And I was ecstatic because I was thinking to myself, oh, I'm about to have a book chapter in this big publication for Black women. And so I had gotten a resounding yes. I actually got the acceptance, like an unofficial acceptance before it was official, like before the time. It was almost like I sent it in over the weekend, and by the next week I had gotten a, like, hey, we just want to let you know that you're in. And then when the official date was, I received a welcoming letter. So I was very ecstatic about that. And this was a long process. In case you don't know, submitting any kind of like research publication is rarely a fast process. It takes years, if not years, it definitely takes months. But I've been sitting on this thing for a couple of years, I want to say, and I've been reaching out and I heard nothing. And I just kind of forgotten about it once upon a time. And then I eventually received that shameful letter, if you will, that was saying, hey, we love your work. We're really glad that you submitted, but we have to release your work back to you because unfortunately we can't, due to some things that we can't see, we cannot go forward with this project. And I was a little devastated. Actually, I was very devastated. And I'll tell you why. Because in that same week, I had received another no. I had received another big no. And right now, I can't remember it. But this was last year, a few months ago. It was just a week of no's. And I remember saying to myself, okay, Lord, what is it? What is it that you want me to see? Because you got my attention. And all within that same time, I managed to complete my dissertation. I received my, you know, doctorate with like a 4.0 or something like that. So it was, you know, that was on the other side of that failure, I suppose. Other things, speaking of articles and publications, there have been other publications that we haven't received feedback on, or I got told that I did really well, but this wasn't, you know, that didn't necessarily align with the publication, or just a whole bunch of other things that have fallen into place when it comes to submitting educational and research-based articles and publications. They can be quite challenging to try to navigate that world. There has been wholesale client work that has fallen through, and it's been on both parts, myself as well as the client, or there were times that I didn't feel like our work ethics aligned, and that I may have been taken for a fool, so to speak, that just fell through. And I don't charge, you know, that to anyone. It's just what it is. It happened. It was meant to happen. And in those moments, I gained so much knowledge about myself and about what I would and would not take. And honestly, about my business practices, I learned that, hey, when you start to feel like you're being taken for a ride, you need to call people on it and you need to stand on it. You know, you can try to give people the benefit of the doubt as much as you want, but you're wasting time, money, and energy for someone else. There have been relationships, friendly and otherwise, that have fallen through. And I didn't know it at the time. I didn't feel it at the time. But these things were for my betterment. There have been relationships of people that I know I prayed for. I know I've prayed for people to come into my life, and thinking that they were going to be there for the long haul, that just was not the reality that the Lord had set out for me, I suppose. And there are so many other things. Recently, I've applied to a pretty big vending event. I told myself this year was going to be the year that I really try to step out of my comfort and start to apply to vending events. And this was another one of those, it's not a yes, but it's not a no. It's a yes, but it feels like a no. So I applied to this really big vending event that I had been seeing for a couple of years now. I was really stoked to push my product, to push myself into living out loud and being uncomfortable with my faith and with my business. So I applied and I got a yes, you're in. We're so glad to have you. Let's send you like the welcome package or whatever. And within a couple of hours, I think, of my second or third email, I received another email. Like, I was getting ready to email them back and I received I am so sorry. We may be out of space in the venue. Hold tight. We're going to see what we can do. So in the midst of the holding tight, again, not anything that I can do. I've done what I was supposed to do. It still feels like a letdown. And it stings a little, but because I am persistent, it doesn't sting that much. One thing about me, especially as a Taurus, if that helps align anything for you all, I'm bullheaded and I'm going to keep trudging through something until I see the completion of it. That's just how I am. But I also get in moments where I do feel let down and I don't want to move and I don't want to do anything and I want to sulk and I want to cry and I want to, you know, be in my feels about it. But then I eventually sleep that off, eat something, recharge, renew myself, and I get up and I move in a different direction. I find my way into what I'm trying to do one way or the next. So now that leads me to tell you about a bit of the Bible studies that I've been doing over the past, 6, 7, 8 months. It's so funny how God just does things, like how he reveals things. And while I was thinking about this episode today in the shower and I was like scratching thoughts out of my head, the Lord revealed to me, he was like, you remember I had you read about Moses? And I was like, oh, we're getting good. So last year I was really curious about Moses, and I remember something that stood out to me from other studies about how I would always hear how Moses didn't speak well. And I wanted to learn the ways of Moses when he said, Lord, I don't talk good. But he eventually became secure in his faith, in his work through his faith, that he not only didn't, you know, turn away from that I don't speak well, but began to speak for so many people, and not just spoke, but led and was persistent. And I was like, I want some of that. Can we bottle that up, please? I want to go pick up too. But the Lord guided me through this thought process of how he, God, hardened the Pharaoh's heart, who, if you know, was Moses's adopted brother. And that can't be easy, I don't imagine, to go to someone whom you've shared so much with and ask him, like, can you stop, please? You're hurting me and you're hurting my birth family. Let us go. And the Lord was like, no, I'm hardening his heart. And all I could think about was he was doing that for Moses's benefit. He was doing that for not just for Moses's benefit, but for the benefit of so many, because Moses needed the practice of going up against the giants, so to speak. He needed the practice of going up and getting the things that he needed, even when he heard no, even when it felt like a failure, even when he was scared, even when he was insecure. He needed to practice his temerity. And that was laying on my heart something heavy. Big time. The Lord also put into my mind Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And also, faith without works is dead. So just thinking about that, all things work together according to his purpose. So if we're meant to do this thing, while it may seem like we're failing, we're not. My partner taught me, was one of probably one of the first people to teach me about filling up. And I thought it was such an interesting concept because not always do I live in a black and white world. I do live in a pretty gray area, but when it comes to work, there's black and white. Either you worked for it or you didn't. You succeeded or you didn't. And I'm having to get out of, disrupt even, explode even the idea of this black and white idea of success and or failure. So he taught me about failing up and was just like, even though you did the thing, you didn't require the wanted outcome or didn't acquire the wanted outcome, you still practiced at it. And that was then, and then I made the connection about Moses in my life and probably so many other people's lives. Because you attempted it, you're one day better than you were the day before you attempted it. You did it again. Now you're twice as, you know, knowledgeable than you were before you started. Another definition of failure I found was the action or state of not functioning or working. And that definitely reminded me of faith without works is dead. Because you didn't work. Because it doesn't work. Because there was no work involved means that you automatically failed. But if you worked towards it and you faithed your way into it, there is a level of success there. It may not look like it on the surface, right? You don't get to see seeds growing once they're put in the dirt. You have to nurture it and nourish it and plant it. I mean, not plant it. Of course you're planted it. You've planted it. You have to water it. You have to give it plant food. You have to sing to it. You have to give it sunshine. There's so much that goes into that plant erupting through the soil. All of that is work. All of that is a success. And so long as we're working, there isn't failure. Even when you didn't achieve your desired outcome, you've learned so much in the process. You've built your work ethic. You've built your business acumen. You've grown your knowledge base and you've perfected your craft. And that made me think, speaking of perfection and perfecting my craft, that made me think about a video I posted on TikTok a little while ago when I was talking about loving what I do as a home-based manufacturing, if you will, home-based production, is that things that may have worked a year ago, 2 years ago even, but has been causing me hell now, I can perfect that. I can go back, revisit the design, revisit the file, work out the kinks, test it out, get better at it, and produce something that may be faster, that I may be able to make faster at this moment than I did when I first created some of my embroidery. There have been designs that I have been revisiting that are leaps and bounds better now than they were when I first worked at it. And of course, it worked when I worked at it because I was teaching myself how to digitize. And now that I know more, I can do better. And those things that I did before weren't failures. They worked when they worked. But also seeing how going through, and honestly, there were some pieces that I've had to trash. There have been lots of pieces that I've had to trash. I've been working on some things here lately that I'm testing, and I have to test and retest and test and retest. And while those things are not sellable, while it looks and feels like a failure because I have to trash them, I'm building on what I've learned to be able to produce what I'll be able to give to the world. Hence, me working right now with a client, I had to work out so many kinks in that first week of working that it's unbelievable. But I've had two steady weeks of work, and I'm almost finished with this portion of his special order. And I'm really proud of myself, because even though I had a setback of 7 days, no, it might have been longer than 7 days. I had that setback as long as I did. I'm still finishing earlier than I anticipated. And I'm very proud of what seemed like a failure in the beginning. It gave me the opportunity to grow. And that probably is happening with so many of us in the times that we feel like we just didn't succeed at the thing that we're working at. I think if we keep going at whatever project or whatever it is that we're working at, we'll see the benefit. We'll reap, you know, the reward of it in due time. But we can't lose hope in the midst of it. We have to keep driving at it. We have to keep going. So I want to pose this question before I end out. How can failure drive you toward your goals? Have a wonderful day. And until next time, bye-bye.